Well, good morning. It's Friday, April 29th, 2022. I apologize for my voice. I'm just returning. It's just starting to return after a bout with laryngitis. So please excuse any windedness or occasional coughs through the teaching. Well, today we're headed back to Proverbs for some life lessons on spoken words. In the first teaching of 2022, we covered the definition of a proverb as being a wise saying, a timeless truth in the form of a simple illustration that exposes a fundamental reality of life. They are divine guidelines and wise observations. As simple comparisons, their outcomes are not guaranteed for every situation, since life is more complex than just one parallel. Proverbs are practical, they're easy to remember, and they're applicable to life. And you know, it is at the very heart of God to have His Word be practical and applicable. With these wise sayings in our heart, we move about, we navigate the commonplace interactions and duties of everyday life. Proverbs gives us the general direction for our thoughts and speech. It heads us in a good way, one that is pleasing to God. So these easy-to-remember wise sayings provide the framework for these repeated moments in our lives. And then that good practice of those repeated moments in our lives, they in turn build a solid structure for our responses to life's more unusual moments that we know can come at us all so unexpectedly. So we can look at Proverbs as framework because it contrasts many things. It contrasts wisdom and foolishness, the righteous and the wicked, humility and pride, work and laziness, wealth and poverty, love and lust, masters and servants, life and death, and the use of the tongue for edification or destruction. You know, we all carry, or at least have the head knowledge, which is a good start, that the words we speak are powerful, whether for good or for bad. And most Christian teachings, they do focus on hiding the word in our hearts so that the results of our lives bear good fruit, so that we bring forth bountifully in every situation. And Proverbs is a book that is loaded with wise sayings about the power that is within speech. You know, I don't know about knowledge as power, but I do know words are power. The tongue has great power. Proverbs 18:21 documents that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And I believe that is King James. Now, the tongue is an organ of speech. And according to how it is used, it's going to deal forth life or some degree of death. I really like the Septuagint, the phrase, they that love it. It really translates, they who get the mastery over it. So death and life, good and evil, cursings and blessings, they're in the hand or the power of the tongue. And they who get the mastery over the tongue shall eat and shall enjoy the fruit from the life, the good, the blessings of what they're speaking. Not only their own internal blessings, but the blessings to those, for those to whom they speak. according to the use of the tongue, one attains to life or breaks down under the power of death. Proverbs 18:20 through 22 in the Good News Translation, it says, you will have to live the consequences. You will have to live with the consequences of everything you say. What you say can preserve life or destroy it. So you must accept the consequences of your words. And it's just saying, the words we speak, they will have after effects. In James 3:8, we read, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. A couple of translations say the tongue is an unsettled evil. It just means it flips. It goes back and forth depending on your mood. It's mad one minute, it's happy the next. It's like that fountain that sends forth bitter then sweet. Yeah. It says the tongue is an unsettled evil full of death bringing poison. You know, not every poison kills somebody on impact. Some do, but not every poison does that. So, but it does bring people down. It does. Poison is not going to make you feel good. Let's put it that way. The great news is this verse does not say the tongue cannot be tamed, right? It says that the tongue cannot be tamed by a human. And that's so intriguing because you think of humans, they train lions. They train all manner of wild animals to do tricks, to, you know, to tolerate man. Now, sure, those animals can flip out. We've all read news reports of those. But just in the simple course of it, humans train all kinds of wild animals. Yet, they cannot tame their own tongue. Well, as in all other dilemmas of life, the answers are only found within the Word of God. And we are instructed in Isaiah 55, verse 6. And I'm reading this from the New Living Translation, NLT. Seek the Lord while you can find Him. Call on Him now while He is near. Let the wicked, and it's just the guilty, let the guilty change their ways and banish the very thought of doing wrong or speaking unrighteously, living unrighteously. Let them turn to the Lord that He may have mercy on us. Yes, turn to our God, for He will forgive generously. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. The rain and snow come down from the heavens and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It is the same with my word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. You will live in joy and peace, verse 12 concludes. You know, the world always wants to stick a role model in our face. But our role model for living is found within the Word of God. It's really living with the mind of Christ. And it is also imitating the nature of God as Christ so dutifully, lovingly, willingly, obediently declared the nature of His Father. Ephesians 5:1 says, therefore, be imitators of God as dearly beloved children, God tells us in Colossians 4:5 to walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. And in a day and age when we don't have enough time, isn't that everybody's cry? I don't have enough time. This is the solution to simplify that problem. Wisdom redeems time. And we redeem time through the wisdom of our speech. Verse 6 goes on, and these are in the King James. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. You know, grace is that same word that describes the grace of God. In this verse, grace stresses speech which gives pleasure, delight, or causes favorable regard. Now, the devil tells you, hey, that's sucking up to somebody. The devil would have you think you're dishonest to say gracious things to one who is undeserving. Well, you know, we just have to look in the mirror for a checkup on that one. Because we are all undeserving of God's grace, and yet not only do we have his unmerited favor, we have his mercy, which withholds us from that which we do deserve. You know, the devil prods us, oh, speak your mind. And he tries to tempt us just to let it rip and call it as we see it. But are we seeing it as God sees it? This is the question. And that is, and the answer is within the wisdom of God. God's word encourages us, for the best result and blessing of all, speak graciously. And our speech is to be seasoned with salt to boot. Our words are to be salted, purified, cured, and committed. So if the tongue cannot be tamed by a human, how in the world does it work? Well, the word for tame and other conjugations of the word for tame occur 4 times in the New Testament. 3 of them are here in James. Verse 7, that every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. All those tames are from this word. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Now, the 4th usage of this word for tame is in Mark 5, where it describes the man who lived in the graveyard and was just, he was out of his mind. He ran around naked. He could not be bound with chains and fetters. He just would burst them and break loose. But verse 4 says, neither could any man tame him. You know, as you read on in the record, Jesus came, the man ran to him, Jesus ministered to him, he delivered him, and the man who was untamable was soon found clothed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, and in his right mind. And he again joined society, and he witnessed, he shared his testimony throughout the regions. So, how can the tongue be tamed? We can't approach spiritual understanding through our natural logic. It doesn't work that way. You know, the powerful transformation from the inside out is brought about by the Word of God and the work within our gift of Holy Spirit, our own personal gift that was created exactly for us, so that we could easily understand God's messages to us and grow to interlink scriptures, understand them, and have them be the great solid foundation for our lives. So let's look at Romans 12, starting in verse 1, and this is going to be from the Christian Standard Bible. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. Now look at this. Nothing says true worship like, I want to be just like you. I want to please you. I want to be a living sacrifice for you. Now when that is our heart, our prayer, and our time before the Father to share our heart with His, do you think He looks upon that as true worship? Absolutely. In verse 2, Christian Standard, do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is good, pleasing, and the perfect will of God. The word discern relates to the proving stone that was used in those days to determine the authenticity of gold. You know, we do the proving. God wants us to prove Him. He doesn't prove us. We prove and approve or disapprove ourselves. It's all in our control. For this Romans 12:2, I also like the New Living Translation, which says it this way: don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasant and perfect. And the word for transform is the process of transforming or changing from an immature form to an adult form, and it could have several stages, distinct stages of development from the beginning to the end, but it's a maturing, a sequential maturing. But I think of that caterpillar, which we often think of with metamorphosis, which is that word for transform. So that caterpillar transforms into the butterfly. Now, the simple fact about caterpillars is that they are ravenous eating machines. They feed on plants, particularly on the leaves. They don't even drink water. The water they consume is from the moisture in the plant leaves. You know, that caterpillar has no clue about what is to come. After all, it hasn't been involved in this process before. But that does not stop the hidden metamorphosis awaiting the caterpillar in the cocoon and once he's sealed into the chrysalis. As that internal transformation, unseen by the world, as that internal transformation continues, that once caterpillar emerges as a butterfly. The caterpillar's contribution was the food it ate, and the fact that it attached itself in a safe place for that transformation to begin. And just as with us, when we refuse the wisdom of the world and allow God to transform us into a spiritually mature person, it all starts with us having a ravenous appetite for the things of God. We begin feeding on His Word. We become word-eating machines. We attach ourselves to God's care, and He transforms us in the secrecy within. We don't transform anything by the power of our natural man. You know, we shouldn't give our brains undue credit. The human brain can be taught and trained. It can add, it can subtract, it can engineer, design, and so much more having to do with the skills and arts and disciplines of the temporal world. And gosh, we should be smart, and we should pursue areas of life and interest in life that we love, that we would enjoy doing. But there's nothing wrong with being smart. But allowing the gift of Holy Spirit to tame your tongue puts you in a league of your own. It's a league where there are not many mighty, not many noble, not many wise in the fleshly sense. There just aren't that many. With the right food in our brain, the renewed mind transformation, guess what? It cannot be stopped. Just like that caterpillar can't decide halfway through the chrysalis shaping and those 5 to 21 days it takes to come out as a butterfly, it can't decide, you know what, I want to be a caterpillar. I want to be a larva, you know, and go all the way back to where it was. No, once that process begins, it goes, it works. You know, it cannot be stopped, nor can it be contrived. This fake it till you make it, I'm sorry, it's severely flawed at the very best. It's more than repeatedly envisioning how we want our life to be, and then one day, voila, here it is. There's nothing more disingenuous than to be a fake at any step along the way. We want to be the real deal. And this is the way that we do it. Since Proverbs contain simple comparisons and wise observations, we're going to be looking at the best versions of these verses having to do with words concerning speech, tongue, words, and so forth. And as a result, we might jump from version to version of the Bible. Now, most of us prefer to study from the King James because of the alignment with the Strong's numbering system. But you know, even in the Strong's, you know very well that the definitions are oftentimes skewed around certain theologies that we do not adhere to. And the Word does not bear those theologies out from Genesis to Revelation. But various versions and translations, they can communicate one verse so effectively, even if the very next verse is a tragedy. So, to say which version is preferred, it's going to vary from verse to verse. So, in reading these things and trying to gain this understanding, God is going to enlighten us, but for us to link everything together, we may jump from verse to verse. What we want to acquire is a clear concept of truth to hold in our minds that will be hidden in our hearts. And then that's where the Holy Spirit really goes to work in that transformational process. So if one translator does the better job on one verse, praise the Lord. You know, the only perfect word of God is the word that he breathed to holy men of God who wrote, thus saith the Lord. And after that, over the centuries, over the decades, seducers have worked overtime to bribe translators into adding their own agendas into the margins. Then, when the next translator came along, the things that are penciled in the margin are actually added into the text as if it was there all along. And it just becomes kind of convoluted. And that's why I love and rely on what I like to call tethering verses or anchoring verses. You know, they hold me in place. I want to be attached and remain attached to the established nature and will of God. He is love and he is light. His mercy, grace, and goodness are from everlasting to everlasting. And honestly, even if in this life I never am able to understand what seems to be a contradictory verse about the nature of God, I pray I will never be shaken or tempted to rethink his attributes. You know what? And if I'm wrong, and it should happen that he is a scolding, wrathful, judgmental father, as so many teach this day and time, then he can scold me and breathe fire in my face for not buying into the angry and punishing God doctrine. You know, do give these verses some thought and join their messages in your heart. Ask God for spiritual understanding. And then just become an eating machine for the things of God. Meditate on the scriptures. Excuse me. Work them so they entwine, they interlace. They require much more than memorization. Give them time, thought. Pray over them as they enter your heart and your mind. And thank God for enlightening the heart, the eyes of your heart, the eyes of your spiritual understanding. So this today is going to lay the groundwork for our next few weeks of study. And going forward, we're going to look at the framework and foundation for our speech. A lot of it will be in Proverbs. And include looking at examples of results throughout the Word. Very exciting to think about. And we certainly desire to have mastery of our tongue so that we can love and enjoy the fruit of our lives. So love to all of you, and God bless.